Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Friday, October 20th. Today we'll be reading from the Big Book on page 161, reading the first and second paragraph, starting with Now This House. Today's readers are Helen B. on the 12 Steps, Amanda R. on the 12 Traditions, Janice B., Penny L.C., and Eileen M. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting for Thursday, October 19th, is 10,564. That's 10564. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting for Friday, October 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 10571. 10,571. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery of the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Helen B. to read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Helen B. from North Carolina. The 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen B. I'll now ask Amanda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Amanda R., recovered compulsive overeater in Maine. 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Amanda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 161, the first and second paragraphs, beginning with Now This House. I will ask Janice B. to begin reading.
Thank you. This is Janice B., recovering compulsive overeater in Vermont. Now this house will hardly accommodate its weekly visitors, for they number 60 or 80 as a rule. Alcoholics are being attracted from far and near, from surrounding towns. Family drive long distances to be present. A community 30 miles away has 15 fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Being a large place, we think that someday its fellowship will number many hundreds. But life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals. Cleaning up old scrapes, helping to settle family differences, explaining the disinherited son to his irate parents, lending money and securing jobs for each other when justified, these are everyday occurrences. No one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially, if he means business. Social distinctions, petty rivalries, and jealousies, these are laughed out of countenance. Being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. The things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? Okay, so, So the lines that really struck out for me here is being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God, with hearts and minds attuned to the welfare of others. And I'll tell you, when I came in to OA, I wanted to lose weight, and I wanted to be abstinent, and I was only thinking of myself, and for many, many years, I didn't see in the third step prayer that part of it is take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. I didn't see that for so long. Wait a minute. I'm here so that I can be helpful to others. It took years. It took years to get that I'm here to be helpful to others, and that being helpful to others is what's going to light up my spirit. What I was always wanting to have this spiritual energy, I didn't know how to get it, and it wasn't being abstinent that was going to give me that. And I'm so grateful for the fellows who have shined the light on the path to me finding God, you know, to helping me find that God deep down inside. And so, you know, it says here that it's more than attending gatherings and visiting hospitals. It's a way of life. It's a way of living that the spiritual awakening, that the steps bring you to the spiritual awakening of a change, a transformation, a change in the way I think, feel, and behave. And it doesn't just happen in meetings. It's what I practice all day, you know, every day, paying attention. What am I thinking? Is that delusional thinking? What's the truth? And how can I be helpful? And with that,
gentle reminder.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jan. Perfect. Who would like to comment on these paragraphs today?
Suji.
Suji.
Shannon S.
Shannon S.
Debbie Y.
Debbie Y. Anybody else? Let's start out with these three, Suji, Shannon S, might be F, and Debbie
Marcia
Y.
Marcia H.
And Marcia H. Please go ahead, Sue.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is Suji, recovered by the grace of God from Michigan. Once again, coming from the Oxford group, it's not a surprise that they were united under one God. They weren't united under one religion. They were all had their own understanding of God coming from what they believed in. But that's how it started, and it's not surprising to see it. And then in We Agnostics, it says, too, we're going to talk about God. We've got to. And we'd like to avoid it, but we're going to do it. And here again, the more concerned about others, the things which matter so much to some people no longer signify much to them. How could they? They're all on a sinking ship. They're united by what's being shared at the meetings, and what's being shared is the steps in the spiritual way to live your life. And that was one thing I didn't apply. I had a spiritual life, but I didn't apply it to program. It wasn't until vision, or a little before I came into vision, that I started to realize that I had a lot of knowledge and I had a lot of faith, but I wasn't applying it to program. I wasn't working the steps the correct way, according to the big book. And I'm very grateful for this program. I'm very, very grateful for my recovery and my sponsor that helped me strengthen it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Suji. Shannon S., you're up now, followed by Debbie Y.
Good morning. This is Shannon S., Lake Sam in Buffalo, New York. And good morning. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Thank you for everyone who's here. The part that really stood out to me was about them outgrowing a house and the attraction, not promotion. And it brought me back to, I don't know, a year ago or so, a year and a half ago, when I was feeling very lonely. I was feeling very isolated. And when I reached out, I got in touch with an amazing group of women from this program, all of which are moms. And so we had that in common. And we started a little, you know, group within OA for support and fellowship and encouragement. And then thank goodness for technology now, you know, we don't have to be driving hours, you know, to cram into a little house. And, you know, with technology, we're not limited by time and space. So then we outgrew our platform that we were on because we weren't promoting this support network, but it grew and grew and grew. And then we had to find a different platform. And now I think we're at about 50 moms who are recovered, recovering, maybe in relapse. We're all in different places. But you know what? We just like it said in those paragraphs, we don't have to clean up for one another. And that is what this program to me is so important, that we don't have to clean up. You know, our tradition says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And last Friday, week ago today, when I fell and I relapsed and I fell on my face, those group of women were there to help me dust myself off and get back up. And I didn't have to clean up before I came. And I just am so grateful for the early pioneers of this program, the foundation and the model that they have laid out. And I'm so grateful to be part of this and to be back on a recovery path. And I just always keep praying that I will be a carrying message of attraction and not promotion. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share. I pass.
Thank you, Shannon S. Debbie Y., you're up next, followed by Marcia H.
Thank you. This is Debbie Y. from Vermont, recovering one day at a time. And I love this paragraph, too. This is, for me, such a selfish disease. And I didn't realize that over the next 27 years, I would meet my best friends, whether they are newcomers or have been in the program as long as I have. And I love the phone meetings, but I really love my face-to-face meetings because we're there for each other. You know, we give rides. When somebody's down and out, we're right there for them, and vice versa. And through our higher powers, we are, we feel one. We're peeps. And this was written in 1939, where it says, you know, alcoholics are being attracted from far and near. I wish I could say the same today about compulsive overeaters are being attracted from far and near. Our groups are struggling, as many are. And there are a lot of people out there that can be reached. And one day at a time, every day is a learning experience. And I just appreciate everyone's support and appreciate the opportunity to be on the line today. And so I'll pass. Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the line today, W.Y. Marcia H., you're up next.
Hi there. Good morning, everyone. This is Marcia H. I'm calling from the state of Washington. And may I be heard?
Yes, we hear you just well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service and everybody else. This is the first time I have been able to reach out to you all live. It's so wonderful. And I guess ditto everything I've heard so far. And I want to share my what's on my heart after hearing the readers read the passage today. I don't have the book in front of me, but there's what I believe I heard, that there's a line in the reading that says something about we're all here under one God. And if that's what I heard correctly, my immediate reaction to that is to bristle. I have a lot of issue with this idea there is one God. And what came over me after the bristle, because of my recovery, what came to me was there is one God for all of us. It's the God of recovery. And I feel like I just had an aha moment of realizing a deeper step too. That's my God, the God of my recovery. And this God has been unfolding recovery for me in so gently and so lovingly for many, many years. And I'm very grateful to have found Vision for you. It's added so much to my recovery. And thank you all for helping me to recover. And I pass.
Thank you very much for sharing, Marcia. So we are on page 161 in the big book, and we're commenting on the first and second paragraph, starting with "Now this house" and ending with "How could they?" Who would like to comment on those two paragraphs today? Press star one to unmute.
I'd like to comment, please. My name is Danielle G.
Danielle G. Okay. Anybody else?
Beth B.
I'm sorry, didn't quite get the name.
Beth B.
Beth B.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else?
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Miriam Rivka.
Miriam Rivka. Thank you.
Lane C.
Was that Lane C?
Yeah, Lane C.
Okay. And maybe one more?
Jeanette G.
Let's start with Jeanette G. Great. Okay. So we have Danielle G, followed by Beth B, Sherry KB, Miriam R, Lane C, and Jeanette G. And was there one more person who wanted to share? I thought I heard one more. But let's take this for now. We're going to start with Danielle G, followed by Beth B. Please go ahead, Danielle.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say thanks for everyone that's on these calls. I had another program fellow introduce me to these meetings a little while ago, and I get so much from them. A big part of my job involves me traveling a bit, especially in this fall season. And I've had these meetings with me, and I know that I've made better decisions around my meal planning and things like that because of them. And they've also encouraged me to stay in contact with others in the program, knowing that I don't have to do it alone, because I've spent a lot of time trying to go at it alone. And I think some of what the reading today and some of the shares that I've been privy to hear have encouraged me to do is to stay connected with my fellows. And I can't even explain, and I'm sure a lot of you on this call understand, how important it is when we come together. And initially in the program, I've been in the program for about 7 years, and initially I had a hard time with this whole higher power concept, and I still can sometimes. But some part of me came to understand the group as my higher power, and it doesn't matter what group I'm in, because all the recovery combined in those rooms is a power greater than myself. And I'm just finding a lot of salvation in showing up and doing service as I can, still putting away chairs, still signing up to lead meetings, still making sure I'm taking calls and making calls as best as possible. Because I've had these moments where I feel like I've been at this for several years, that, you know, I've graduated or whatever, and I've heard others talk about it more eloquently. But I just know that I have to keep coming back, and I'm grateful that there's somewhere that I can go and talk about some of these issues that I'm experiencing around food, around life, relationships, et cetera, and people get it. So thank you so much for being on the line today, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Danielle G. Beth B., you're up next, followed by Sherry K.B.
Good morning. This is Beth B. in Charlottesville, Virginia. How is everyone this morning? Hopefully well. The thing that's jumping out at me as I read these paragraphs is that we do have a solution, and it's not just about the fellowship. It's also about our spirituality, which keeps us from the disease of thinking too much of ourselves. And I've got to tell you, that is so true for me. When I came into OA, I was so into myself that I couldn't even fathom how my behavior was affecting other people. So just doing the spiritual plan of action every day through the program by staying connected with other compulsive overeaters, I've managed to string together several days worth of abstinence and spiritual healing, which has been so vital. And I wouldn't be here without Vision. I have found so much strength in Vision. And so I won't get too long-winded here. I just wanted to share that, and I appreciate everyone listening to me, and I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth B. Sherry K.B., you're up next, followed by Miriam R.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry K.B. in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, Elaine, and welcome to everybody on the line. I'm going to jump in here. In the second paragraph, it talks about how, you know, it goes into this whole thing about what we do, but it says, but life among Alcoholics Anonymous is more than attending gatherings, visiting hospitals, cleaning old scrapes. Goes into this whole thing about everything, but that these are everyday occurrences. But, you know, what's important, too, is that we do all these things, but we also need to be helping other people get through the steps. This is an opportunity for anyone who wants this work, who wants to do the work, who means business, and it says it here. You know, it doesn't matter if one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially, if he means business. And so, you know, I get a lot of calls. It's almost like sometimes I get interviewed to see what kind of step guide I'm going to be and if I meet their qualifications. I mean, I've had that kind of experience before. But what I do know is I carry the book. I carry this meaning of death and weight, and that I can and be of service and get people through this big book. And to me, that's the ultimate service to me of being useful, is getting people through the books. I get calls about people's food plan. They want to know what I'm doing and everything. But the bottom line is that call and talk to me about the steps. Call and talk to me about this big book. That's what I'm here for. I really am. Because we need to put the food down in order to do this work. And, you know, another thing here, it says being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God. You know, I think of tradition two, and I think of, you know, we all have different higher powers, but I love what tradition two says. It says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. So I think of one God as a loving God, period. And just that also under what we have too here are the steps. And so we have the 12 steps. That's another thing that we have that is so important, that we are united under all these 12 steps together. We can do this. And I'm just so grateful for Vision for You. It's interesting how this book, this chapter, is about how we carry this message, because I want to carry the message and not the mess. And, you know, we have a workshop that we're going strong with. And, you know, if there's 4,000 people on the website that they have to purge it and redo it again, can you imagine 4,000 people carrying this message to other people and starting meetings? How amazing this would be. That's what I want to see. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, what a good lead-in. Miriam R. will hear from in just a moment, but first we have a special announcement from Melanie C. Please go ahead,
thank
Melanie.
You. Yeah, thank you. Good morning, A Vision for You, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. A Vision for You is announcing that this Sunday, October 22nd, 2017, the current membership list on our website will be cleared completely in order to stabilize and revitalize that list and the website. Please register again on Monday, October 27, 2017, following the directions as if you're new. And that's that announcement for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melanie. And thank you, Miriam, for holding on just a moment. And you are up next, followed by Lane C.
Hi, it's Miriam Rifkat H in New Jersey. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to jump in and comment on what we're reading. You know, there's a lot of things here. What's jumping out at me first is, you know, I don't have the text in front of me right now, but just that when we read about that, there's nobody who could have sunk too low. And for a very long time in these rooms, I was, you know, kind of having the group support and then being abstinent for a while and picking up food and having group support and being abstinent for a while and over. And I remember feeling like, I can't possibly come back. I'm going to be rejected. You know, they're going to tell me that I'm not serious. And I'm so grateful because all of you guys, you know, you kept telling me there is recovery. You can recover from this hopeless state of mind and body. And it took me a while to realize, and this is also, you know, we also read about this, like it's not just about the meetings and it's not just about the food plan. This is a real program of action that we're told about. And if we follow it, we will have that recovery. You know, and I actually experienced recently, I just had a few things going on in my personal life. And for a little bit of time, my program kind of became about things I was doing instead of things that I was being. And I recently had an experience where I was just really feeling like I was just running on empty and not having that connection with higher power and running and do. And this is what I need to do. And thank God, you know, I just really had the clarity. And I believe that was from my higher power to say, Miriam Rifka, stop. You know, what do you need to do here? And I was kind of able to just connect in that moment and recognize, you know, I need to be of service. I am in this world to be useful to my higher power and to other people. And, you know, it was something for work that I was going into. And I behaved like an agent of God. And I walked out of there and I felt like I was floating on a cloud. And it just reminded me when I'm doing what I need to do and I'm being what I need to be in this program, I will not need food. I'm not going to need food. Versus in the past, when I was kind of hanging on with my fingernails and going to 90 meetings in 90 days and not eating no matter what, I kind of was literally just like, you know, one step away from picking up and will I or won't I be abstinent today? So I just want to remind myself, this is about being what I need to be in this program. And thank you all for being there and have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Miriam Rifka H. Lane C, you're up next, followed by Jeanette G.
Awesome. Good morning. Hi, this is Lane C, recovering overeater in Columbus, Ohio. And Elaine, thank you so much for your service this morning. This is a great couple of paragraphs and a great topic of conversation. You know, I'm really struck by the, you know, the piece around if we mean business. When I first came into these meetings, it was recommended to me by a sponsor in another program as just a way to start like losing weight and really focusing on that piece. You know, whether or not I meant business was then I guess in some ways was tested or asked of me when I started to work the steps and really started to commit to working the steps. Most recently, like with step 9, you know, just, you know, if I'm willing to commit, if I mean business in this program, am I going to make all of those amends? And I did. And then I did the step 10 and it's like, oh gosh, I'm going to do this every day. All right. You know, and making that commitment as a part of meaning business in this program, and making it not about the food, but about what's going on in my head, what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my spirit, and how am I living, you know, a life that is a God-directed, God-centered life. And I'm grateful to all the folks who comment on this line regularly, as this is the meeting I usually attend, just because so many of you have contributed to the sort of unfolding and revealing of what it means to mean business in this program. And I'm grateful for all of you who have shared thus far, and grateful for the room for those of us newcomer folks to come in. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lane C. Jeanette G., please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jeanette G., a recovering compulsive overeater in Southern California, and I really appreciate everything I've heard on the line today. The reading reminded me of the fact that, or actually resonated with me, I'm always reminded of this fact that, you know, where I go, I can carry the message, and it's not always within the rooms. And I'm getting ready, I'm packing to get on a road trip with my dad to travel to a funeral. And I'm so grateful that my aunt, who we're going to go and celebrate her life, she has over 20 years of sobriety when she went on to heaven. And what a privilege to go and be a member of a 12-step program. And she was such a strong person in her recovery area that the memorial is going to be at their Alano Club. And so it's just so comforting to me that in this highly emotional trip that I'm going on, that I can stay aligned. And like I heard, be an agent of God. And while I'm traveling, stay present and be aware of my feelings and just, like I said, stay in the moment. And when I get there, like, what a gift that I'm going to be able to meet a lot of the people she sponsored and who sponsored her. And I'm hoping to attend a meeting on either on one of the days that we're in that area. And yeah, what a gift. What a gift that even though she's really the only other, yeah, I think she is, well, that I'm aware of. All my family is scattered everywhere, my extended family, I should say. But yeah, she's the only person in my parents' generation that embraced recovery. And Lord knows we have all kinds of isms throughout our family. And what an honor that I got to share that with her, the common bond, and be united when we would talk, even though it was from a distance through media, that we had that connection and that, you know, I just get to stay in those emotions. I can stay in gratitude rather than wallowing in the uncomfortableness of emotional closeness with my dad and whatever feelings he's having. I get to stay connected to the recovery and be an agent of God. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jeanette G. I'm going to take a moment to share, and then we'll open it up for more people to comment on page 161, the first and second paragraphs, just because this is Elaine B., recovered in Massachusetts, and it was 4 years ago that I finished my nine-step amends, and of course I continue to do them with step 10, and began taking on sponsees, and my life has been transformed. I understand why there's 4,000 people on the list right now, why we're starting over with people who are, you know, freshly committed to the list and the program, and want to be available. They want to have their phone number. They want to be part of this community. And the first miracle I saw that I was able to put down the food. And then to go out and to face some of the wreckage of my past, and when it was appropriate to go face to face and to go make amends. And then to hear the miracles of other lives restored over time and be shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm with people who are continuing to work on things with their marriage, with their family, with their workplaces, with whatever circumstances come up in their lives, to be available not just in the meeting, but to be available for 10 steps, to work with sponsees, to gather in small groups face-to-face or by phone, to carry this message into OA meetings and Big Book face-to-face studies as well, and Big Book phone meetings as well. It's just such a privilege, and the quality of life, the level of life, the miracles I see day to day, week after week, month after month, it starts with the food. That's a miracle not to have the food calling, ruling my life, be directing and running the show. But the relationship I have with a power greater than myself is just, it's unbelievable. That is what I want more of. My disease of more is give me more of God. Give me more of your direction, more understanding of your will for my life, because what I've experienced has been better than anything I've experienced anywhere else. And the biggest thing, turning my heart and minds, all of us attuned to the welfare of others, not the welfare of Elaine. What do I want now? What do I want to eat now? What do I want to do now? What do I want to buy now? What do I want to get praised for now? Whatever it is, I can lay down my vain ambitions and I can pick up these steps and walk into this wonderful fellowship and do it all with you one more day. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you for letting me take a moment or two and a half to share. Please let me know if you'd like to comment on these. We have about time for three more shares on these two paragraphs. Who'd like to
Carrie
comment?
S.
Joanne B.
Eileen M.
And Eileen M. Thank you very, very much. We're going to start with Carrie S., please.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It's Carrie S., recovered in Colorado. I wanted to celebrate the World Service Business Office is helping us to carry the message with a new poster. It says, stop hurting yourself with food. And I purchased some of these from my little hometown here in Golden, Colorado, went around, hung some up at coffee shops. And this was just like 2 weeks ago. And I'm at my face-to-face meeting last night. And I'm asking who else can hang some of these around. And this newcomer that's sitting across the table from me says, that's why I'm here. I saw one of these. I took one of the little perforated tabs off the bottom. I went to the OA website. I took the 15 questions. I had no idea I was a compulsive overeater and introduces himself as a compulsive overeater for the first time ever. That is what this paragraph says to me. Our hearts and our minds are attuned to the welfare of others. When I first came into the program, if you had told me that I wanted to desperately spend my time working on inner group, trying to carry the message in whatever way I can, I would have chuckled and been like, no, I'm just here to stop the insanity in my mind. And this program is just miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. And so if your small town or if your small meeting is too small, please consider hanging some of these posters. We're in the trifecta of eating holidays right now, everybody. And we all know how miserable it is. So let's carry the message the best we can and get those rooms filled up. All right, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie S. Joanne B., you're up, followed by Eileen M.
Hi, this is Joanne B., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Texas. It's so nice to be here, and thank you again, Elaine, for moderating. What really stuck out to me today was, if I can find it, was that no one is too discredited or has sunk too low to be welcomed cordially if he means business. One of the things while working this program, when I first was searching for an OA group and trying to find someone to help direct me, I was very uncertain of what I was doing, what I even thought, what I even knew about myself. And all I knew is that I was so in myself. I didn't come to the program, to the room to lose weight. I really didn't believe that could even happen. I came because I was so self-centered and so deep in depression and in myself. And when I called someone, I picked that person because I had noticed their name a lot in some meetings on the online OA page. But my response or the response I received was not very friendly. It was, you're not ready. You know, it was a lot of accusing type things. And I thought, okay, I'm not ready. Well, for me, I could have taken it angrily or run or so often I just believe what anybody says to me. And so then I was hopeless. And I had to come to a place where I could say, you know what, I don't know if I'm ready or not. And so someone directed me to this group, and I was able to find a sponsor. And I'm so grateful that she put up with me because I dug my feet. I really went against the goat a lot, and I would call different sponsors and ask questions because as a homework assignment. And I know they were struggling with me too, rolling their eyes maybe, I don't know. But the thing is I'm it just, to me, we do have to just really cordially welcome people that we may not know if they're ready or not, and they may not be ready, but you know what? We can assist them, even if it's a short time, to help them come to a ready place. We're not part of that necessarily, but I know I've only gotten people that have been quote-unquote fired from their sponsors, and I think, why am I getting people that are there? And then I realize it's because I don't mind sitting and waiting for them to fall again and then take them back so that they can see that they're not ready, or they can see that they're not at where they thought they were, because that's what I needed. And I'm so grateful for those who have helped me. There's several who have really helped me in our group, and I'm grateful for that. And it reminds me of the third tradition.
Just a reminder.
Thank you. The desire to stop eating compulsively is the only thing that we are required. And so I'm so grateful. And thanks again for everyone on this call who make it happen. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joanne B. Eileen M., please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire, and good morning. Thanks, everyone, for your service. I remember coming into OA, and I was very lonely and isolated when I was trying to handle the disease on my own. And, you know, even while in the rooms, I felt often very lonely and isolated. And, you know, I started listening to Vision a little over a year and a half ago, and I was attracted by the enthusiasm that I heard and the recovery. You know, it was much different and stronger than what was going on in my face-to-face meeting. So I kept coming back. And, you know, the Big Book has so many sets of promises. And I really, you know, I find what we read today to be, you know, on along the lines of promises. I mean, it says, you know, being wrecked in the same vessel, being restored and united under one God. I think that's incredible. You know, and our hearts and minds are attuned to the welfare of others. I mean, that is, God, it is so beautiful. I mean, you know, I'm just living a completely different life. I mean, from having, you know, the change in my attitudes and my thinking, it's just been incredible. And, what was the other thing I was going to say? You know, I love the part in the Big Book where it says, you know, you will have a host of new friends, you know, and you will be released from care and worry. And I love that because, you know, it's like I just feel so at home here in this meeting. And I'm really grateful for the solution. So thanks so much for sharing. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Eileen. We've got about 2 minutes if somebody has a burning desire and would like to comment on this these two paragraphs. Star one to unmute if you'd like to just take a quick share.
Denise, John Kay.
Go for it, John. Thank you.
Oh, I was trying not to be the person. Hey, this is John.
Thank you.
Okay, this is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater. And you know, I'm going to talk about something. Well, I just love the fact that the picture of the fellowship in the house. You know, we need to remember this is how it started in houses. I have sat at the table where OA started many times. And to remember, this is how it started. It started as a little group and just kept getting out the word. And if you think about it, that's we're sort of doing that with Vision. You know, I've watched Vision grow and grow and grow, and been in Virginia Beach and then Newark, and I keep carrying the message, and every week I hear, oh, I was banging around OA for years until I came to Vision. And I think when you have a message and you have something that is attached, it's almost you have to work to keep it from growing. And I think that's what's happening. It happened with AA, it happened with OA, and now I think it's happening with Vision. And it's, to my mind, when I try and explain Vision to people, I said, Vision is not different from OA. It's OA, but it's OA, I believe, personally, the way the 12-step program meetings are supposed to be. Not group therapy, but here to emphasize the big book, emphasize recovery, emphasize the steps. Anyway, hopefully I made it to the end. Thanks for letting me share.
Perfect, John. Thank you so much. Oh, and thank you, everybody that read today. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, A Vision for You, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read A Vision for You? Penny Elsie?
Thank you, Elaine. This is Penny Elsie, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.